Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I don't know what I said before the break, but it's heaven, hell, and purgatory we're talking about today with the author of Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, and then also the author of the brand new, or the much newer book, The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. We thought, well, if he's going to write books about that, let's do a show with him about it. Dr. Carlo Broussard here. Any question you have at all about life after death, heaven, hell, or purgatory, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Catholic to ask your question. You just got to be able to ask a question. Well, also, you got to be able to dial a phone. 888-318-7884. Dr. Carlo Broussard, longtime apologist, a wonderful public speaker, author of a lot of books, including those two that I just mentioned. And also, just an all-around great guy. Dr. Carlo Broussard, thanks for being here with us.
Hi, you're welcome. Thanks for having me. Great to be on with you, man.
So you were inspired by Jacob Imam last hour, I guess. You're going to take up building and farming.
I don't know about inspired, but I will say I did have the feelings of being perhaps incompetent and less than a man because I'm not a man of the trades and I am not a man of the land.
Doesn't matter.
Full disclosure right here, baby.
If you can lift,
Dr. Carlo, right?
If you can lift as much weight as you can lift, you got no problems with your manliness.
But there is a distinction between lifting those weights in the gym and that rugged strength of lifting tires and wood and all of that stuff.
Right, right. So. Oh, yeah. Some guys, you know it when you shake their hand. You go, oh, this guy worked. I mean, it's just
a slab of hard meat. My dad used to work extremely hard with a shovel all day, every day. And when I was a kid, when I would be sick, and I was constantly sick and coughing. And so my mom would come and tat-tat me, you know, and try to ease my coughing and settle me down. And then my dad would come in and try to rub my back, and it was like sandpaper.
I'm fine,
Dad. Probably listening right now.
I'm fine.
Those callous hands aren't as they used to be with the shovel, but he still has those calluses with the golf clubs. So.
Oh, the golf clubs now. Very good. a little reward for a life of hard work. Life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory. I'm just going to start by asking you this, Carlo. How do we know anything about heaven, hell, or purgatory?
Well, we look to sacred scripture. We look to church teaching, magisterial teaching, which is the authentic interpreter of God's word found in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. And so that's what we do. We look to what the church teaches us in interpreting the sacred texts concerning heaven and what our Lord reveals to us about heaven being this perfect exchange of life and love with the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, our ultimate destiny, and the bodily resurrection that will take place at the end of time. And the new heaven and the new earth that will be ushered in at the end of time after Christ's second coming, inspired by the Holy Spirit, St. John reveals, gives us a glimpse of some of these heavenly aspects in the book of Revelation, saying how all tears, pain, suffering will be wiped away. And so we have details about the heavenly experience, both within the interim period before the second coming, but also the heavenly experience after the second coming. Enough details such that we can conclude that heaven is indeed a destiny worth living for. The hope of our future as a believer in Christ justifies the efforts that we need to put forth in facing the trials and the tribulations of this day, having hope in the midst of the darkness of suffering, etc. With regard to hell, our Lord teaches us several things about the existence of hell, the reality of hell. We have hints with regard to the torment and the punishment of hell. And with regard to purgatory, there's biblical evidence as well. With regard to the reality of purgatory, I articulate those pieces of evidence in great detail in my book, Purgatory is for Real. And so those are some of the things that we can talk about today. And you mentioned my book, The Saints Pray for You. Given that we're going to be talking about heaven, part and parcel of that heavenly reality is the church triumphant and the saints in heaven who, united to Christ and having the beatific vision, are engaging in their role as intercessors and praying for us and interceding for us and continuing to be involved in our lives and friendship and relationship. And so definitely the communion of saints, the intercession of the saints is on the table here for our discussion today, because they are part and parcel of the heavenly existence. So all things life after death, anybody has some questions, challenges, objections, maybe points of clarification needed, we're more than happy to take those sorts of calls.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. So we know, like you gave us a kind of a tour of some of the things that we know about the afterlife. Would you say there's much that we don't know, or are we just, we've got a pretty good picture of what the afterlife is?
Oh yeah, there is much that okay. We don't know. Within the sacred deposit of faith, as interpreted by the Holy Magisterium, there are some things that we can know, things that are goods and that we can rejoice in, glimmers of light in the darkness of that mystery. But the darkness of the mystery goes way beyond and is way deeper and broader than the glimmers of light that we do have. Those lights are good enough in order to give us the hope that we need and the strength to persevere through this life and this journey of life and journeying towards our final salvation and entering into heaven. But indeed, the darkness of mystery is quite pervasive.
888-318-7884, the number. And those lines are going to fill up pretty quick, because this is a fascinating topic. And you're talking to a man who's written two whole books on afterlife topics and has written about it extensively in other places as well. So if you want to have a nice conversation, get your question answered about the afterlife, if that question can indeed be answered, because as Carlo just said, a lot of it is shrouded in mystery, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We're going to start out with Val in Texas, who's listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Val, I'm glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, my question is, what is the Catholic belief on people who say that are mediums? And also, why is it that mediums, when they say they do hear or communicate with people who have passed on, they're always in a happy place, in a happy state, and there's never a sign of purgatory, like we believe in purgatory as Catholics?
Okay, so with regard to the first question, Val, as to what's the Catholic Church's stance with regard to consulting mediums in order to have contact with the dead, the Church does forbid this in paragraph 2117. All practices of magic or sorcery, it states, by which one attempts to tame occult power so as to place them at one's service and have a supernatural power over others, even as this were for the sake of restoring their health, are gravely contrary to the virtue of religion. So this idea of magic or sorcery, and the surrounding paragraphs of 2117, it rejects this idea of consulting mediums and whatnot. So this, it goes on, these practices are even more to be condemned when accompanied by the intention of harming someone, or when they have recourse to demons. It goes on, wearing charms is also reprehensible. Spiritism often implies divination or magical practices, and the Church, for her part, warns the faithful against it. So this idea of consulting mediums in order to have contact with the dead would be something that would be outside of the boundaries of Catholic practice and permission. And this, of course, comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 10 through 12, where we find Moses giving instructions for the Israelites to avoid wizards, sorcerers, and necromancers. Necromancers, or necromancy, as the Hebrew word entails, is to an inquiry of the dead, to inquire from the dead. And we see an example of this in 1 Samuel chapter 28, where Saul consults the witch of Endor in order to consult the soul of the prophet Samuel. And he engages in a conversation with him, and Samuel pronounces judgment upon him. And so we see, in light of these biblical texts and church teaching, that for us as Catholics, we would be forbidden to consult these mediums in order to have contact with the dead. The danger therein lies with regard to us contacting demons. Demons could possibly manifest themselves to make us think that it is a loved one. And this is even why, if we do not initiate contact with the dead and we happen to have a vision of sorts, or maybe a soul is appearing to us, we need to test that spirit in the name of Jesus and calling on our Lord and calling on the prayers of Our Lady in order to test to make sure it's not a demon, but rather it would be a legit soul that God's allowing to appear to us, say. But with regard to initiating that contact by consulting mediums of the sort, this would be something that would be outside of the boundaries of Christian practice.
Did I get at what you wanted, Val?
Yeah, so is it always, I always thought it was maybe a gift given to them. I don't think I saw it as magic, or maybe there are people who use it as magic and to harm others. But well, I always thought it was more like a gift given to them.
Well, it all depends upon what you mean by those who have a gift. So there are some who can be influenced by demonic activity in order to perform wondrous deeds and even have extraordinary knowledge that would go beyond ordinary human intelligence and knowledge, and maybe even having knowledge of what's going on somewhere else, or, you know, being able to conjure up some spirit from the other side. I mean, those would not be gifts in the sense of coming from God. Those would be abilities that this particular human is being able to have by influence of the demonic. Now, with regard to the mystics in the history of the church, there are some who have had gifts from God to have contact with souls, like souls from purgatory, St. Pio, and others, having these mystical experiences to where they're able to engage in conversations, but never initiating that contact through mediums and sorcerers and whatnot.
Val, got to leave it there because it's time for us to take a break. Right back with more on Life After Death, Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory with Dr. Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Jim Pinto, director of EWTN Media Missionaries. Mother Angelica said, "The essence of evangelization is to tell everybody Jesus loves you." You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. He wrote the book, among many other books he wrote, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And if you're interested in the afterlife, he also wrote The Saints Pray for You, How the Christians in Heaven Help Us Here on Earth. So he's got a book about purgatory, a book about heaven. There's one other possibility. He didn't write a book about that, but maybe he's going to. But you can call and talk about it if you want. Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory at this hour, 888-318-7884. Right now, The Saints Pray for You is on sale, 25% off at shop.catholic.com. Use the promo code SaintSpray, and you will get 25% off when you check out SaintSpray at shop.catholic.com. All right, back to the phones we go. Travis is in Pioneer, Ohio, listening on 89.9 FM. Welcome, Travis. Go ahead with your question. No Travis? Line one? Oh, Travis has got it on mute. He's going to go, oh, I had it on mute. Nope. All right. Travis, we don't hang up on people. Not on purpose. So,
hey, Cy, yeah. Real quick, yeah. Maybe while we're waiting on Travis to press the mute button.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned I don't have a book on heaven or hell, but I do.
No, you do have a book on heaven.
And I do have, what's that?
You have a book on heaven, how the Christians
the
in heaven.
Pray for,
yeah.
I guess
Did
so,
you
yeah.
forget you but, have a book about heaven? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I actually have a CD set. I know a lot of people don't have CD players anymore, but if you do, and you or you can download the MP3 versions at shop.catholic.com. Quite some time ago, I did a three-talk series on what lies beyond heaven, hell, and purgatory. And so some of the content in the church's teaching and biblical evidence for heaven and hell and purgatory and stuff is in that series. So folks can actually get that at shop.catholic.com.
The three CD set. I have a CD player, but I also cook my food over an open fire and hunt it myself. So, you know. All right, let's go to Travis. Hi, Travis. You got a question for Dr. Carlo Broussard?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of in the same vein as the last one.
Yeah.
So I'm in my mid-30s now. I remember when I was a young child, my father burned his Ouija board because he didn't want anything to do with it anymore. At that point, he was 37. I'm now 35. So at some point, I think he decided the same as me, like, the only way you can speak to the other side is the same as the Apostle Paul while he was still Saul when he went to the Witch of Endor and assumed that he was going to be speaking to a demon. I've never seen anybody in the real world present day speak to anything angelic. It's only been demonic. As in everything you told the last caller, I agreed with.
Yeah.
You know, it's all trickery and witchery.
Yeah. So that's why we have to be really careful, Travis, with regard to these things. Now, one point of clarification, you said when he was Saul, the Apostle Paul, consulting the Witch of Endor, that's actually King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 28,
oh, yeah,
you consult
yeah, okay.
with the Witch of Endor. Yeah, that's all right. Just for the sake of our listeners, I figured you misspoke there. But with regard to utilizing mediums and sorcerers and whatnot in order to contact the dead, you know, as I mentioned in the with the previous caller, this is something that we see Scripture forbidding God's people to engage in, and we see the church also forbidding her Catholic children to engage in. I quoted paragraph 2117, Travis, and with the previous caller, and in my mind, I was thinking to myself, this is not the right paragraph. There is another paragraph, and I missed it by one paragraph. It's actually 2116. So, Travis, I am so glad you called, brother, to give me an opportunity to redeem myself and remove the mud from on my face. here's so for our listener's sake, here's what the Catechism states in paragraph 2116. All forms of divination are to be rejected. Recourse to Satan or demons, and check it out, conjuring up the dead or other practices falsely supposed to unveil the future. That would be exactly what King Saul did in 1 Samuel 28. Goes on, consulting horoscopes, astrology, palm reading, interpretation of omens and lots, the phenomena of clairvoyance, and recourse to mediums, all conceal a desire for power over time, history, and in the last analysis, other human beings, as well as a wish to conciliate hidden powers. They contradict the honor, respect, and loving fear that we owe to God alone, so the Catechism says in paragraph 2116. So all forms of divination are off limits for us as Christians on account of scriptural teaching and church teaching. So Travis, thank you for your call, my friend, and I'm glad that what I said with the previous caller is mapping on with your thoughts as well.
Thank you, Travis. Thanks very much. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're talking about life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory. What can we know about those things? What do we know about those things? You got a question? Whether you're Catholic or not, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. Michael is in Kansas. Welcome, Michael. Go ahead with your question.
Not trying to get a debate going or nothing like that. I just got a really bad, big question about purgatory.
Okay.
And why we pray to the saints. I'm not a Catholic.
Okay.
So you just said that we're not supposed to talk to the dead or conjure them up, but you're saying we should pray to the saints that are dead. And that they're in purgatory, and they're supposed to intercede for us, even though the Bible says that there's only one intercessor for us, which is Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit to pray for us when we don't know what to pray. pray for. So, mm-hmm. I mean, are these saints, are they taking the place of the Holy Spirit? Because it doesn't seem like that there's room for the Holy Spirit if you're going around the Holy Spirit to pray to these saints that are no longer living.
Okay, yeah. Michael, I'm going to let Dr. Broussard answer, but I know you said you have other questions, so I'm not going to hang up on you. I'm just going to let him answer. Yeah. I'll come back to you, and we won't make it a debate. We'll make it a conversation. But and thank
Absolutely.
You for that. Go ahead,
Michael. Thank you so much for your call, my friend, and for the questions. So I heard two questions there that we can start to entertain. One of which had to do with communication with the dead. In the practice of asking the saints to pray for us, that would seem to conflict with what I was just saying. And I understand where you're coming from, but here's the difference. Notice in my previous conversation, I was explaining the church's teaching that forbids, and the Bible's teaching that forbids, initiating contact with the dead through mediums in order to conjure up their spirits. Michael, I don't know if you know this, but that is not what we do in our Catholic practice of invoking the saints to intercede for us, nor does the church encourage us to do that. In fact, what I just read earlier, the church forbids us to do that. So our invocation, that is when we ask the saints to pray for us, that is a form or a kind of communication with the dead. But it is of an essentially different kind of communication with the dead. The kind of communication with the dead that is forbidden is the kind that I was articulating earlier, conjuring up their spirits, their mediums, in order to elicit certain information or knowledge that goes beyond ordinary human knowledge apart from God. The kind of communication that we're engaging in when we ask the saints to pray for us is simply making a request unto them that they would intercede for us, which leads me to your other question, Michael. Your question, as I heard it, was, by us asking the saints to pray for us, is that not excluding the Holy Spirit or excluding Jesus as our heavenly intercessors? And here's the answer, Michael. The answer is no. My request of, let's say, Mary in heaven to intercede for me no more excludes Jesus and the Holy Spirit than me asking you to pray for me. So I ask you, Michael, if you can respond here in the conversation. I know you sound like you were driving, so if you can't, I understand. But let me ask you, if I ask you to pray for me, would you automatically conclude that I'm somehow bypassing Jesus and the Holy Spirit?
My response to that would be, I'm alive, so I can pray for you.
All right, so notice.
They're in heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, so notice the shift in the target there, Michael. So initially, you were inquiring as to whether my request of them to pray for me would somehow bypass Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But now you've shifted the target to they're dead, you're alive. And so that's a different issue. Let me go back to the first target, and then I'm more than happy to shift to this second problem that you've raised. With regard to that first target, Michael, my simple point is this. To your question, are we bypassing Jesus and the Holy Spirit by asking the saints in heaven to pray for us? The answer is no, and here's the reason. Just as the principle that allows for you to intercede for me without taking away from Jesus or the Holy Spirit is the same principle that allows for the saints in heaven to pray for me without taking away from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So the question becomes, what is that principle? And here's the answer. We are members of the mystical body of Christ. Michael, your prayer for me and my request for your prayer for me doesn't take away from Jesus and the Holy Spirit because you, as a baptized Christian, assuming you're a baptized Christian, are in Christ. You're a member of his body, and I am a member of his body. So when I pray for you and you pray for me, we're doing that, Michael, in and through and because of Jesus Christ. Well, from the Catholic perspective, my friend, that is no different for the saints in heaven. As St. Paul teaches us in Romans 8, 35 and 39, death does not separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, which means death doesn't make a member of Christ's body cease to be a member of Christ's body. The saints in heaven are still members of the mystical body of Christ. And Michael, in fact, they're perfected members of the mystical body of Christ. And so when I ask them to pray for me, that is with the assumption, Michael, that they will intercede for me in, through, and because of Jesus, the one mediator between God and man, 1 Timothy 2:5, and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit who's working in and through them. And so that addresses that first target. Now, would you like to have a conversation about the issue that they're dead?
Okay, so here's my issue with the dead part.
So
correct me if I'm wrong, you guys believe that when you die, you go to purgatory.
Not necessarily.
That these saints are in heaven.
Not necessarily.
What's the difference between a saint and somebody who is baptized and believes in Jesus and tries to follow him? What's the difference?
Yeah, so first of all, with regard to we believe that everyone who dies goes to purgatory, that's not necessarily true. We actually believe, Michael, that purgatory is only for those who need it. So it's very possible that somebody can die and go immediately into heaven. Okay, so we got that off the table. Now, your next question is, what's the difference between a quote-unquote saint like Mary or Joseph in heaven and us Christians here on earth? And I'll answer that question, Michael. Hang on through the break. We're coming up on this hard break.
Michael, this is a good conversation for us. If it's worthwhile to you, I hope you'll hang on and we'll continue with the conversation because life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory is our topic, and you are right on that topic. Right back with more with Dr. Carlo Broussard on Catholic Answers Live. Each Catholic is obliged to spread and defend the faith by word and deed. Well, we're here to help. Join special guests Chris Stefanik, Dr. David Anders, Father Jeff Kirby, and all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists this September 25th through 28th in beautiful San Diego for the Catholic Answers Conference. Our theme? Go make disciples. Enjoy 4 days of faith, fun, and fellowship. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 when you register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first 2 centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
Why do Catholics pray to dead people, bow to statues, venerate relics? And where do we find any of this stuff in the Bible? In the delightful book, The Saints Pray for You, Dr. Carlo Broussard convincingly defends the ancient Christian belief rooted in Scripture that the saints care for us, that they are allies. Order your copy of The Saints Pray for You today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Carlo Broussard, our guest. Purgatory is for Real is one of his books. The Saints Pray for You is one of his books. And so we said, let's talk about life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory. If nothing else, it's good for me. I love these conversations. I learn a lot from them. But I know lots of other people are also interested in what happens after death. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Having a great conversation with Michael in Kansas. Michael, not Catholic, and trying to get some clarity on what is it that we Catholics believe about all of this. Michael, thank you so much for staying with us. I'm going to go back to Dr. Broussard to continue, but is there anything you'd like to say before we go on, Michael, because I don't want to shortchange you.
Well, Michael had an issue with the saints being dead, and he was beginning to articulate what his issue is. So, Michael, we give you the floor now. Take it away.
I just don't want to take everybody's time. I know there's other callers trying to get questions done. Sorry, my brain's going 1,000 miles an hour right now. So purgatory, you said it was for people who need it. I'm not 100% sure on what that means.
Sure.
We're going to live like Christians now. Like,
yeah.
I don't know why you would need more time if you died.
Okay. All right.
And what does that look like? Like, what does that more time look like? Do you have time with Jesus to pick his brain to see if you're going to follow him? Like, what is that? That is
a great question. Very good.
Yeah. The short answer to that, Michael, would be no. And I just remembered one of the other questions that Michael had posed before the break. Maybe we can get to that. But this question right here, Michael, you know, so it is true. I mentioned in just very briefly in passing, some might need it. And that was intentionally very vague because we weren't focused on that. So, Michael, after this conversation, hang on the line. We'll get your address. And if you're interested, we'll send you a copy of maybe both of my books on purgatory and the saints pray for you. But specifically to your question, Michael, we believe that any soul that's in purgatory is already judged. They've already had their particular judgment. So for those souls in purgatory, they've already died in friendship with Christ and thereby are guaranteed heaven. So it's not a second chance or some state of existence where they're picking Jesus' brain to see if they're actually a friend of his. They know they're a friend. Jesus knows they're a friend. They've died in charity, and so they're guaranteed heaven. Purgatory is just going to be a final purification for any of the friends of God who haven't achieved that final completion of sanctification yet. Maybe there is a slight guilt of sin on the soul, what we call venial sin, a defilement that doesn't turn us away from God, but nevertheless is still a defilement that's going to have to get purified before entering into heaven. Or maybe there are some unhealthy attachments that to a creaturely good that was incurred by pursuing a good outside of God's divine design. So that would have to get purged or purified as well in order for the Christian to attain that completed state of holiness that's necessary for heaven. So that's just an example of why someone might need this final purification after death before they enter into heaven, whether that's instantaneous or durational. Theologians debate about that, Michael. The church has no official stance on that. But nevertheless, we do believe that for those who would need this sort of final purification before entering into heaven, they would need it. Because remember, Revelation 21:27 says, "No defilement shall enter into heaven." And we know that the Bible says the righteous man falls 7 times a day and gets up. Well, what if the righteous man, a friend of God, falls one of those 7 times and dies before being able to get back up, right? Well, that defilement's going to have to get taken care of. So that's the answer I would give with regard to that specific question. Now, before our last break, Michael, and Cy, I don't know, you take the reins here if we want to continue this conversation, but I know Michael did ask a important question about the difference between the saints in heaven and us Christians here on earth. I don't know if we want to go that route.
Why don't you just address it? And because Michael said he didn't want to take up too much more of our time, and I want to respect what his requirements. But if you would just address that that one question, and then we'll move on and be very grateful to Michael.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And this is a good question. I address it in my book, The Saints Pray for You. So if Michael hangs on the line, maybe he can get a copy of that and read through it. But the bottom line answer is that they are in Christ, we are in Christ. So we're the same in that sense. We're Christian, but they are perfected. We're not. We're still struggling with sin and temptation to sin. The blessed in heaven are perfected in charity. They're no longer struggling with sin, and they have achieved the state of perfect holiness. So there's no need for them to be purified like the souls in heaven. And given that they are perfected in charity and have attained the perfection that we aspire to in the heavenly existence, we reserve the title in practice saint for them, in order to keep at the forefront of our minds that that's our calling And we're not there yet. That's why I don't go around saying Saint Cy. As holy as you are, Cy, I ain't going to call you Saint Cy. Not yet. And we don't go around saying Saint so-and-so and Saint so-and-so. Because if we were to do that, then that would take away from the perfected state of the saints in heaven. And so we avoid doing that to remind us that we haven't achieved that level of perfection yet. But by God's grace, we hope to do so. And so that's kind of the difference between the blessed in heaven, saints, and the blessed here on earth, which legitimately we are saints insofar as we're validly baptized, because we belong to Christ.
The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Your questions are welcome. I'm very grateful for the conversation with Michael. If he'd like a copy of one of Carlo's books, The Saints Pray for You or Purgatory is for Real, just hang on the line if you want one. Michael and Siobhan, who's on the line this hour, we'll be happy to get your address and we'll send it out to you. And we can continue these conversations because intelligent questions make for good radio, and we really appreciate it when people call and have them. And that's why you can call right now, 888-318-7884. You don't have to even be Christian. You don't have to be a believer of any sort. You want to know what the Catholic Church teaches on heaven, hell, and purgatory? 888-318-7884. Carlo, you got an online short course coming up. I know the last one was very popular. What's coming up?
Yeah, so what's coming up starting March 27th for three consecutive Thursdays, I'll be hosting a live online short course entitled Beyond the Bible, A Catholic Response to Sola Scriptura. So it'll be, you know, reflecting on the Protestant pillar, the pillar of Protestantism, Sola Scriptura, and what we as Catholics think about that, and trying to engage what Protestants say and how they define it, how they defend it, and then how we might respond. And so with the online short courses, if you register at my website, carlobroussard.com, you get the live presentation, Q&A, live interaction with me online, and then you have access to the videos after the live sessions on demand in perpetuity, along with detailed downloadable notes, equivalent to, say, like a little booklet, like the Catholic Answers 20 Answers booklets. And so lots of information. Our last one that we did in January, More Relativism, was very successful. I'm going to do this one in Sola Scriptura. And so if anybody listening or watching is interested in registering for the short course, we would love to have you join us, and you can do so at my website, carlobroussard.com. Just click on the short courses tab there, and you'll see the link for registration and more information for this particular course on Sola Scriptura.
Check it out at carlobroussard.com. Off we go now to Rochester, New York, where Christina is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Christina, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Carlo Broussard.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking my call. My grandfather and I listen all the time, and we regularly discuss what's shared on the show, and I thought I would call in with this question because he and I did not know the answer, but we were talking about heaven and how Pope John Paul II described that we would receive our glorified bodies in heaven, mm-hmm. and that's something that's so amazing, and it's hard to wrap one's mind around it.
Sure.
But do you have any more detail on that, or did Pope John Paul II originate that thought, being the Christ's vicar here on earth, and, you know, as Pope, he has that high intellect, and does that come from somewhere in the Bible, or I'm just very curious on that.
Tell us everything you know about glorified bodies, Carlo.
All right, Christina. And this, I'm glad you've asked this question, because this is an aspect of the heavenly existence that we often fail to reflect on and do not meditate on enough. Now, to answer your question specifically, it did not originate with Pope St. John Paul II. He's actually just echoing what St. Paul and what Jesus taught us. So it comes straight from sacred scripture itself, Christina. So with regard to our blessed Lord himself, you can check out John chapter 5, verses 26 through 29, where Jesus explicitly teaches that whenever he comes at the end of time, there will be a universal bodily resurrection for both the righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous will rise to eternal life. The unrighteous will rise to eternal damnation. And that resurrection involves a bodily resurrection. all souls getting their bodies back. For the righteous, as St. Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a variety of different verses, but more specifically in verse 53, the righteous will rise with their glorified body. The body that was sown as perishable, that body that corrupted and died, the new body that we will get in this bodily resurrection at the end of time will be imperishable. That's to say, Christina, the body will take on the characteristic of the spirit, namely immortality. By divine power, God will preserve the glorified body from any corruption, and therefore we will exist in our fleshly body in a glorified state for the rest of our existence on the new heaven and the new earth. That new heaven and that new earth idea that's taught by St. John in Revelation 21, the Catechism of the Catholic Church affirms it in a variety of different places where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth, paragraphs 1042 to 1045 and following. And so St. Paul gives us his teaching of the glorified body in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, there's a detail there, Christina, that you might find interesting. I think it's verse 49 in 1 Corinthians 15, where St. Paul teaches us that we, in our glorified bodies at the second coming of Christ, will image the heavenly man. What is he referring to there? He's referring to the glorified body of Jesus, Jesus's resurrected body. So when we look to Jesus's resurrected body, we get hints and we learn about what our resurrected bodies will be like. Well, obviously, Jesus's resurrected body was incorruptible. He's not going to suffer and die anymore. And that's what I already mentioned in verse 53 of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. But you know what else, Christina? We see in the gospel accounts that Jesus in his resurrected body walks through walls, for example. He is not confined by material boundaries in his glorified body. For example, in John 20, 19, John says the doors were locked, and then right after that, there Jesus is in the midst of the apostles. That door was not an impediment for Jesus in his resurrected body to get into the presence of the apostles. We also read accounts of Jesus appearing and disappearing, moving so swiftly in his glorified resurrected body that you would think he's merely appearing and disappearing. I'm thinking on in the Luke 24 with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He's there and he's not there. I'm thinking of the ascension in Acts chapter 1. The apostles see Jesus go up into the sky, and then poof, he's no longer there. I'm thinking of even the power to change his countenance. Those two disciples on the road to Emmaus were disciples. They knew Jesus. They knew what he looked like. But for some reason, they didn't recognize him. Possibly Jesus manipulating his visible appearance in order for them not to recognize him. Some theologians have speculated about that. So notice, Christina, when we look to Jesus, we see all of these cool powers and qualities of the resurrected body of Jesus. And Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, tells us that we're going to image that in our glorified body. So not only will we get bodies back, but the bodies that we get will be in a glorified state, incorruptible, being able to pass through walls, being able to move so swiftly that appears that we're appearing and disappearing. And one final quality, Christina, just as Jesus was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, where his countenance was glowing and shining, Jesus says, that's going to be us. In Matthew 13, 43, if my memory serves me correctly, Jesus says, the righteous will shine like the sun. And many theologians have reflected upon this, that in our glorified bodies, the holiness of the soul will spill over into the body, and our bodies will radiate like the sun because of our holiness. So, something to look forward to. I think that's a destiny worth living for.
All right, Christina.
Yes. Thank you so much. This helps me immensely, and I look forward to passing on bits and pieces. We have two small boys, and so they really think that this is such a fascinating idea, or glorified body as well. You know,
But you said you listened with your grandfather.
And my grandfather, yeah.
Oh, yes, that is so cool. That is very cool.
He's in a different part of New York State. You know, we're 5 hours apart, but we I call him every day, and we discuss what we've heard on the air and that kind of thing.
Beautiful.
So,
We have to send you a couple of Carlo's books. How about we'll send you The Saints Pray for You and then Purgatory is for Real. All you have to do is stay on the line. Siobhan, who we do call Saint Siobhan around here, you can get her. No, she doesn't approve of that. Give her your address and we'll send those books to you. We'll take a quick break, right back with more on Heaven, Hell, and Purgatory, the Afterlife with Dr. Carlo Broussard right after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
In Morse code, the sequence SOS is a distress call. It's been said that it stands for Save Our Souls. Well, right now our world is in big trouble, and we're putting out an SOS call for help. Will you answer that call? St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, has hundreds of teams who share the good news with souls who don't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to get involved.
This is Father Leo Paddlinghug, and why do we need Catholic radio? Well, the answer is simple. The devil, who is very real, uses all forms of communication. And so if we are to understand our purpose in life, it's to make sure that we are not only proclaiming the good news, we're also listening to the good news. And how do you do that? With Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's always fun when Carlo's here. Dr. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Check out his website, carlobroussard.com. Check out his podcast, Sunday Catholic Word. It's 3 years, and it's coming. I can't even believe it. I'm going to start tearing up saying this. It's almost at the end. I hope Pope Francis gives us a fourth liturgical year, so we get another year of Carlo. Come on, Pope Francis. I know you're feeling better. Get out of bed and give us another liturgical year.
Well, that tear is either for joy that is coming to an end
for you,
because
it is
so bad,
no,
or it's a tear of sorrow,
yes,
because you appreciate it.
That's right. Check it out. You say where to check it out. I'll get it wrong, Carlo. I feel ashamed of myself, but I will.
Yeah, so any podcast platform that you use, you can just search it, Sunday Catholic Word, and subscribe to it. And you can also access the archived episodes at SundayCatholicWord.com, and that's a page hosted at Catholic Answers website. And then at my website, CarloBroussard.com, I also have the episodes archived as well.
Very cool. All right, we're talking about life after death, heaven, hell, and purgatory with Dr. Broussard today. Up next, Rachel is in Overland Park, Kansas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Hello, Rachel.
Hello. thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm in RCAA, so bear
Yay.
With me.
What do you mean, bear with you? We're super happy to take it. There's no bearing with you. This is good.
Well, sometimes I have trouble finding my words, and so part of this I really am having trouble wrapping my brain around, but I'm trying to understand, I guess. I grew up Protestant, and, you know, of course, purgatory was not in my vocabulary, so I'm trying to understand, I guess, from what I've learned so far in class, what purgatory, I guess, is like, because I understand that it's not a place of comfort, and I understand that it is a purification process. And I also understand that we cannot pray for ourselves when we're in purgatory, and that we need people to pray for us. Mm-hmm. And then when they started to explain indulgences, my brain kind of broke. So
yeah,
I'm just trying to understand, I guess, what we think the process is for people who go through purgatory and, you know, to achieve heaven.
Yeah. Yeah, Rachel, these are great questions, and I'm sure Sai is going to give you a copy of my book, Purgatory is for Real. So just hang on the line after our conversation. We'll get your address and mail you a copy. And don't worry that your brain broke, because it's a lot to take in, right? But with regard to what it's like for this or in during this final purification, we don't know. Like, we really have to bow in humility. At least when we look to official church teaching, the church's official teaching on the nature of the purification is very, very thin. There's not a lot of data there that leads us to several different conclusions. The church just teaches that there is a post-mortem final purification for the friends of God who die in friendship with him, but yet haven't achieved the holiness necessary for immediate entrance into heaven yet. And that's about it. Will there be suffering there? Yeah, the church in her magisterial teaching in the past does teach that there's going to be discomfort, some suffering involved in that purification. But notice something that my mind latched onto, Rachel, as you said, not a place of comfort. That's actually something that theologians have reflected upon in the past and have come to the conclusion that there is some comfort there. There are sources of happiness for the souls undergoing this final purification. Number one, they don't have to fight sin anymore. That's a source of comfort. They're not church militant anymore. They're a church suffering, we traditionally call them, but they don't have to fight sin. And secondly, Rachel, they're guaranteed heaven. That is a source of comfort and happiness that goes far beyond what we can possibly experience in this life. Because in this life, we don't have that absolute certitude or assurance that we will finally enter into heaven. But the souls in purgatory do. So it is true that it is a state of discomfort, and there is suffering involved, but it's also a state of comfort and great happiness as well. As to the intensity or the nature of that suffering, the church actually doesn't have anything officially to tell us about that. And when we look to the theological tradition, we see theologians speculating about this stuff and saying, well, it's possible that for some souls, the intensity of their purification or suffering might be more intense than other souls. And for one soul, it might be instantaneous. But for another soul, it might be some sort of durational existence, however that works in the afterlife. And so all of those issues are within the realm of speculation among theologians, but not within the boundaries of official church teaching on these issues. So it's fun to think about them. But for you, as a member of OCIA becoming a Catholic, you would only be bound to accept the infallible teaching of the church that there is a postmortem final purification for those who die in friendship with God, but haven't yet achieved the state of holiness necessary for an immediate entrance into heaven. And beyond that, there's really not much there. Now, so am I helping you out with regard to that question, Rachel? I know you brought up indulgences, and that's a whole nother can of worms, but it is indeed related. But I just want to make sure with what I said so far, are you tracking that? Is it helping you? What are your thoughts?
Yes, that helps a lot.
Okay, fantastic. Si, do we have time to maybe touch on the indulgences real quick?
You do, yeah.
All right. Real quick, Rachel, an indulgence has to do with getting rid of remnants of sin for the guilt of sin that has already been remitted. So whenever we sin, we incur a guilt of sin. Whenever we ask God to forgive us, act of contrition, boom, that guilt is gone. But in our theology, Rachel, there are other remnants of sin, like unhealthy attachments to creaturely goods. That's one effect of sin. And even there's like some displeasure due to us because we took pleasure where we ought not to have taken pleasure, temporary displeasure. And I explain all of this in my book, Purgatory is for Real. An indulgence, Rachel, is basically an act of love that Holy Mother Church says, Carlo, if you do this with other certain conditions met, well, then us as Mother Church can direct this act of love toward getting rid and taking care of these remnants of sin so that you can remove the impediments of holiness. That's what an indulgence is for us here on earth. So in a way, it's taking care of those things here in this life that would be taken care of in the final purification after death. So that's what an indulgence is with regard to gaining it for us here on earth. And then, of course, we can gain an indulgence for the souls in purgatory. Holy Mother Church says, Carlo, you did this act of love, and with certain conditions met, we're going to implore God on your behalf that God would bring to completion the final purification of grandma in the afterlife. That's all an indulgence is when we receive one for the souls in purgatory. So it's only dealing with those remnants of sin. It has nothing to do with whether somebody's going to be saved or not, because an indulgence can only be applied to someone who is already saved.
Does that all make sense to you?
It does. It does. So is my understanding correct then that people in purgatory cannot necessarily pray for themselves, or did I understand that correctly?
Yes, that is correct, Rachel. And in my book, Purgatory is for Real, I talk about this, how those souls in purgatory can no longer work in a way to increase charity, because Revelation 14:13, those who enter into heaven, their labors cease. And based upon 1 Corinthians 3:8, our wages are proportionate to our labors. So if labors cease for the blessed in heaven, then their wages cease. And involved, baked into that biblical teaching, is this theological idea that the souls in purgatory can no longer work in a way to increase charity, which would involve praying for themselves. So we need to be praying for them and imploring God to help them and bring their final purification to completion.
All right, I'll tell you what, Jan, if you'll just hang on the line, it might take a minute, but just hang on the line. We'll get an address and we'll send you Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, from Dr. Carla Broussard, our guest. Dr. Broussard, thank you very much. Very
nice. Thanks hour. For having me, man. It was a pleasure.
I don't want to ask you how you're grading yourself. I know you grade hard, but I thought that was an A. That was an
Thank
A
you, buddy.
All across the board.
We shall ask Jesus on the other side.
Yeah, he'll tell you. That's the only grade that matters. All right, well, that'll do it for us. See you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.